Hi, this is Adrian Westney Jr. I'm your host for today's program, and this is The More Abundant Life, a radio broadcast which features inspiring messages and presentations by Pastor Wintley Phipps. Today, we're going to continue our series on the Ten Commandments, and we're going to begin the title, The Lord's Day, today. That's on the fourth commandment. This sermon will be divided into two because of the time constraints and the length of the message. So we're going to hear part one of the title, The Lord's Day, today, here on The More Abundant Life. Before we get to our message, as usual, we will feature a special music number, one done by Wintley Phipps, entitled The Sun Will Shine Again.
Memories light up the sky of days when life for me meant holding on, hoping that I would be strong, always needing more to see that somehow I would surely find my way. By faith I'd see a brighter day.
Music by Wintley Phipps, a duet with Patti LaBelle, and the song The Sun Will Shine Again is from the CD release, also entitled The Sun Will Shine Again. Here now, as we get into the message, is Pastor Phipps with the title The Lord's Day, Part 1.
Book of John, chapter 5, and the Word of God says in verse 1, after this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Now, your pastor's been doing a series on the Ten Commandments. And we are now on the fourth commandment. But I wanted to read this scripture to you because it's a very important and very significant scripture. So come with me early one Sabbath morning when throngs of worshipers were heading for the temple. Jesus was walking through the streets of that city, his mind in deep contemplation and meditation. He passed the sheep market, came upon that infamous pool known in the Hebrew tongue as Bethesda. By the way, the name Bethesda means house of mercy. And there were many who sought God's mercy beneath those porches. According to the scriptures, around the pool lay a great multitude of impotent folk, the blind, the halt, the withered, the lame. They were camped there hoping to find healing when the waters were troubled. But this particular Sabbath morning, Christ, before going to the temple, went by Bethesda. Before going to the church, he sought out the congregation of the afflicted. Before going to the synagogue, he found those who were infirm. And he came upon this pool, his heart was moved. Brothers and sisters, before his eyes were really men and women who illustrated what we look like to God, what we look like from heaven's perspective. You see, when God looks at us, you may look pretty to yourself, but you know what he sees? Hopeless people. Infirmed people, discouraged, afflicted people, people overwhelmed by despair. And Christ began walking through this gathering of broken people. And as he moved, I can just imagine Christ walking amongst all of these afflicted, infirmed people. And his eyes are glancing back and forth, looking into the eyes of those who are before him. And as he kept looking at them, there was one man who caught the Savior's eye. Lord have mercy. Jesus noticed that his head was hung down low. His spirit was sad and weary. He was lonely in spirit, but he attracted the notice of the Savior. Christ fastened his gaze on that man who was discouraged, ready to give up. And somehow this man, though draped in gloom and sadness, I think he was a blessed man myself. I think, can you imagine Jesus coming in to a hospital and looking at all the sick people, and you're the first one he wants to come to heal? You're a blessed man. I've often wondered, what was it that drew Jesus to this man? I do not know. All I know is that to engage the attention of Jesus, you're blessed. I said, that I know. That's why you got to pray. So that's why you have to pray. Because when you pray, you attract and engage the attention of the Almighty. This man had been waiting for the troubling of the waters. He probably thought to himself, how can I be a candidate for healing and mercy? I've done all these bad things in my life. Anybody ever felt like that? God, how can God bless me? Look at what I've done. Look at where I've been. But in his ear, he heard a voice that sounded like many waters, like a flowing, gurgling stream. Do you want to be made whole? Me? Whole? Hope sprang up, and just as quickly as it sprang up, it died. Surely I can't be healed today. After all, it is the Sabbath. I'm not going to get healed today. It's the Sabbath. You see, for 38 years, he had dragged himself about. Straightway, he listened to Jesus. He believed. Jesus said, rise up and walk. Amen. And in that moment, he felt his knotted knees straightening out. Responding involuntarily to a divine impulse. The moment he surrendered his will to the command of Christ, in that moment, he sprang to his feet. Now, I can't help but think that this morning, we've got some folks who are crippled here today by fear, hopelessness, discouragement. There's somebody here who needs emotional healing this morning, who needs spiritual healing this morning. At our best, we are wretched and shameful. Sabbath after Sabbath, we come here and we drag what's left of our dignity here. This Bible narrative, however, the record of the ministry of Jesus opens. God is telling me, take my time. It opens not only with Jesus confronting the demons of sickness and discouragement in this Bible narrative, but also Christ confronting the priest. You see, Jesus is so awesome. There was a reason he chose that man. And there was a reason that he chose to heal him on the Sabbath. Jesus was confronting the priests and their abuse of the Ten Commandments. You see, in itself, the abuse of God's law is just as devilish a practice as the breaking of God's law. You see, the devil figured out that he wants to get people to break the Ten Commandments. But the fourth commandment was the only commandment he could get you to break by counterfeit and abuse. Are you with me today? You see, when men pervert and distort God's commandments to use it to serve their own traditions or their own selfish purposes, what gets lost is the true meaning of the Ten Commandments. What gets lost is the true purpose of the Ten Commandments. The Bible says that when he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. I could stand before you today and recommend all kinds of scriptures and teachings to cite countless scriptural references to support the fourth commandment. But I must tell you, my favorite scripture to support the teaching of the fourth commandment is the one where it simply says, he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up as his custom was. He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath. In other words, to me, when all is said and done, outside of the law of God and the strength of God's command, there is no more compelling, convincing reason to believe in the Sabbath and keep the Sabbath than the life example of Christ. The life, are you with me today? Outside of the strength of God's command, in that Ten Commandments, that fourth commandment, outside of the commandments, the most powerful, strong reason you have to believe in the Sabbath is the life and example of Jesus himself. Sabbath should hold in your life the same place it did in the life of Jesus. Amen? And I believe, I've got to tell you, this is one preacher who believes that all doctrines, all biblical principles should find their authority anchored in the life of Christ. This is one preacher who believes it, that Jesus lived the Word. And if you follow his example, you will be on good authority. We should see the doctrine lived out in the life of Christ. And you should see that any doctrine you believe in, find out how it is Christ-centered. Now, from the first book of the Bible, and I'm going to teach a little bit today. Amen? From the first book of the Bible to the last of God's Word, the Bible teaches us that Christ our Lord has a special day that he has set aside, that he has sanctified and blessed. You know, the Lord just spoke to my heart and told me that for many Adventists, this is a foreign sermon. Because we don't hear, we just assume that the Sabbath is something that everybody understands and believes. And so preachers don't preach about it a lot in our churches. But you're going to get a full dose of it today. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 10. The book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 10. And you're going to have to follow my reasoning as God has led me and guided me. John said, I was in the Spirit when? On the Lord's day. So this scripture tells us that there is a what? Lord's day. Amen? Because John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Now, go with me to Matthew. Chapter 12, verse 8, the book of Matthew. Praise God for his holy word. Chapter 12, Verse 8, there is somebody here today. I said there is somebody here today. You came to this church. Maybe you were invited by a family member or friend, but you've never really heard a sermon on the Sabbath. But you're here, and you ought to thank God you're here. Look at the book of Matthew, chapter 12, verse 8. It says, for the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath day. So John tells us that there is a Lord's day. Matthew tells us that that day over which the Lord asserts his claim of lordship is the Sabbath day, the Lord's day. Now, the next obvious question is, which day is the Lord's day? Which day is the Sabbath day? Now, you may let your minister answer that question for you if you want to. Or you may choose to let your priest answer it if you want to. Or maybe you want to let tradition. I prefer, since it is the Lord's day, to let the Lord answer that question. I said, after all, it is his day. Amen? Believe me, this is not the kind of question you ought to pose to any church council or to any general conference session or to any human institution. It's not their day. It is the Lord's day. And since God has already spoken on the matter, let's hear what God has to say about his day. God could have told somebody to tell us which day the Lord's day is. But he knew that that would have resulted in greater confusion than we already have today. If God had whispered to some man, go tell my people this day is the Lord's day, we would have had a lot more confusion. Look at the confusion we have when he spoke it himself. We would have been more confused because God, with his own finger of fire, wrote upon tablets of stone that the seventh day of the week is the Sabbath of the Lord. Now, there are those who say that the Sabbath was given for the Jews. I want you to know that the Sabbath was here long before God even identified the Jewish people. If you don't believe me, look at the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verse 1. I said, look at the book of Genesis. This is the first book of the Bible. You can't get further back than Genesis 1 and 2. Genesis 2, verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And look at verse 3. And God blessed the, read it with me if you will, blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. God was the first Sabbath keeper. Amen. Before the Jews kept the Sabbath, God kept the Sabbath. Now, God didn't rest on the Sabbath because he was tired. Amen. He didn't keep the first Sabbath holy because he needed the rest. He kept the Sabbath holy because of his example. There is a power in the law, but there's an even greater power in the example of the one who wishes to exalt the law. There is a power in the law, but if you really want to exalt the law, obey the law. When the world sees that we keep the Sabbath because of our love and gratitude to God and the force of divine example, men will inquire of us what the Sabbath is, what it represents. As we look to the life of Christ for evidences of divine example, not only did God keep the Sabbath in his life, Christ dealt in his ministry with trying to clear up misconceptions and change people's attitudes about the Sabbath. That is why he made his way to Bethesda Sabbath morning. And one of the first conflicts he ever had with the ministers and the teachers of his day, it was over the Sabbath. So Jesus didn't shun controversy. Amen. Christ observed the Sabbath. He made it holy. The Bible tells us that every Sabbath he went to the house of worship. He didn't like everything he saw there, but he went anyway. The service wasn't perfect, but he went anyway. The soloists were off key, but he went anyway. I'm sure sometimes the preachers talk too long. Are you with me today? But he went anyway. Sometimes he sat there listening to people talking about what they didn't know anything about. But he went anyway. Some of the members wouldn't associate with him. But he went anyway. Are you with me today? Some of the priests talked about him. You think you're the only person that goes to church with people off in the corner talking about you. Some of the priests would gather and talk about him, say, who does he think he is? But he went anyway. Some members even said unkind things in the synagogue to him and about him. Come to church on Sabbath morning, you don't come to serve man, you come to serve the Lord. And someone says an unkind word to you, if someone is short with you, you keep your eyes on Jesus, wish them a happy Sabbath, and just keep on moving. Amen.
Well, that concludes the message for today. We're going to have to broadcast part two of this message and finish it up in the next broadcast. So you'll want to stay tuned for that. The Lord's Day part two. Today, though, if you would like to obtain an audio copy of this message, the Lord's Day part one, you'll want to call the Seabrook Church at 301-577-6342. Again, the phone number for the Seabrook Church is 301-577-6342. And you want to refer today to program number 334, program 334. You may also email a request to Seabrook Audiovisual at seabrookav@yahoo.com and give them the same information, program number 334. Well, until next time, this is Adrian Westney Jr. I want to wish you God's richest blessings for the coming week. I hope that you will join us again for another program, but until you can, please remember the words written in John chapter 10, verse 10. That's where Jesus said, I came that you might have life, and that that life might be the more abundant life.
Give what's in your heart.